Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, we're going to hear from Nick Caserio in a sec. We're a week away from the draft. Texans... 8 days from making a pick, if things do stay. Nick Caserio going to speak.
Hopefully get some draft questions from our colleagues out there.
Hopefully get some Diggs questions.
Well, yeah, obviously. They should lead with that. But they did the Diggs thing with D'Amico and obviously with CJ. I don't feel like they asked no draft questions. Maybe that's just for Nick Caserio. And really, the big one is the Diggs question that D'Amico Dodge, right? I ain't gonna talk about the process and all of that. All right, let's see if Nick will crack.
This has got to be an enjoyable time for Nick. I know you'll never be able to tell that he's enjoying himself because he's not really built like that. But this has got to be an enjoyable time for Nick.
I would guess,
given everything he's gone through up to this point.
I would guess that, regardless of circumstance, that the draft season should be his favorite time of year, at least, you know, work-wise, should be his favorite time of year as a GM, because he likes to wheel and deal, and all GMs like to draft. So he likes to draft players, but also likes to play with the picks. So, yeah, I'm sure he is giddy.
The Will Anderson, CJ Stroud trades, whatever, the combo plate, however you want to look at it, it's hard to argue with. Like, it's 1 year in, you have the defensive and offensive rookie of the years. You have two of the faces of your franchise. But it is a fluid process, and what's true now may not be true next year, especially in the NFL. Do you think there's any time where the hindsight kicks in, and really not even the hindsight, the body of work and the sample size kicks in, and we look back and say, damn, they traded all that to make that happen. You gave up 33 overall, you gave up 12 overall, and you gave up all that, and you could have had this instead of that. I think Nick Caserio's right. Dang, he's early. How about that? Nick Caserio live right here on Sports Radio 610, 1 week away from the draft.
Morning. Uh-oh, bad microphone. So I appreciate everybody being here. You're looking forward to next week. Just winding down here with some of our preparations relative to the draft. Number of things going on, I would say, organizationally in the building as well. Kind of start actually kind of looking ahead a little bit. So, You know, definitely excited to be part of kind of the Hall of Fame festivities relative to, you know, Andre's induction and involvement. So kind of shortens the off season or shortens the training camp or shortens vacation over the summer. But, you know, to have an opportunity to be a part of that week, really it's a week more than anything. I know the game in and of itself is Thursday night, but, you know, to be there to support Andre and what he's done for the city of Houston, for the organization, and for us to be able to participate in the game. But honestly, it'd be a good opportunity for a number of players. So it's an extra week, an extra game. But, you know, certainly be remiss if didn't mention that. As far as the team is concerned, it's good to have everybody back in the building, or most of the team for the start of the offseason program. Really, it's the first opportunity for the kind of the team to get together, spend time really with the strength and conditioning staff. And then next week or the week after that, first week in May, kind of transition to phase two and start some of the on-field work with the coaches. And I think really the focus during the offseason is just improvement and work. You know, and then once we're, you know, done here in the offseason, try to get ready for training camp and get ready to go. Probably have different players at different stages relative to their development, relative to what they're going to do during the course of spring. But it's good to have everybody in the building, making some modifications to the building, redoing the weight room, shifting some offices. So we've had to, you know, adapt and adjust here a little bit. I think that's emblematic of our program and kind of what we're about. But, you know, I think some of the changes and adjustments that we're making in the building, you know, certainly appreciative of the support that the mayors have given us relative to making the resources available. So, you know, we come back for training camp, coaches' offices will be in a different spot. And it's all designed to help the players and make ourselves accessible to the players, make the coaches available to the players, and make the flow a lot easier on the players. So, just a number of things going on just kind of outside of the draft, inside of football. I'd say as it pertains to the draft, you know, certainly excited about the opportunity we have in front of us next week. We have 9 picks as of Thursday night. We'll see if that changes or stays static, but just given our history, it'll probably change at some point. You know, finished up the some of the draft visits in terms of the players in the building. Had a number of players in the building. Had some players in the building that we really didn't have in the building, but, I mean, I think that's the way it goes this time of year. There's a lot of information that's floating around. Certainly appreciative of the staff. I'd say our entire football operations staff is really involved, from medical to strength conditioning to player development to scouting to coaching, take part in those visits. I mean, really the goal behind that is to try to simulate as best we can what it's like to be a Houston Texan on a day-to-day basis, and the people that you're going to interface with on a day-to-day basis have an opportunity to meet them and have an understanding of what we're about, and they understand, you know, we understand what they're about. They can learn about us. We can learn about them. So I'm certainly appreciative of the entire football operations staff. I'd say specifically, can't say enough great things about the college scouting staff and the work and the effort that they put into it. You know, we shifted some responsibilities around a little bit. You know, going into last year, we asked to get some guys to take on a little bit more responsibility. I hate to single anybody out, but do it anyways. You know, I think the work that Lip, John Richard, you know, Zeke Curtis, you know, Brad Matthews, Tom Hayden, I mean, those guys put a tremendous amount of time, effort into the overall endeavor. And honestly, we wouldn't be in a position that we're in right now in terms of our preparation for next week without the work of, again, it's not just them. There's a number of other people. Our area scouts are really the boots on the ground, and it starts with them. But they pour a lot into it. They give a significant amount of time, effort, and energy. And by the time we get to Thursday, we have as much information as we need. And the goal is just try to make good decisions for the organization. And I think the goal for next week is try to add the right people, the right mindset. I would say, like Will said it best the other day in terms of our program, what it's about. We're not for everybody. Everybody's not for us, and that's okay. You know, we're just looking for the right people with the right mindset, that are right fit, that, you know, we think can help us win football games. So not to oversimplify it, but yeah, that's the goal. So, you know, again, making progress. Got a long way to go. You know, I'm sure we'll get some questions here about the offseason and some of the things that we've done. I mean, frankly, it's kind of laughable. I mean, it's so early. I mean, we haven't done anything. So what happened last year has no bearing on this year. So we're focused on right now. We're focused on the present. We're focused on improvement. And I think the players' focus is just on their attitude, their effort, and their commitment to being a good player. So outside of that, I mean, the rest of it is just a bunch of garbage. So we'll focus on just trying to improve and become a better team and see if we can make some progress here in the offseason and get ourselves ready to go for training camp. Hopefully we've improved the team. We're really not going to know if we have or not until training camp. I would say, and honestly, I think the division, when you look at what the other teams around us have done, done a great job. So, you know, hopefully we can keep pace with what's going on in division as well. So, it's interesting going back to the league meetings. We were there in March, and they provide a lot of information on a lot of, not just rules. There's some other information that is made available, but I want to say it was 70% of the games last year were within one score in the fourth quarter, and then 42% of the games were decided by 6 points or less. Really, what it shows is how competitive this league is. So the margins are very small. So we have to do whatever we think we can do to put ourselves in a position to at least have an opportunity. And even going back and looking at our team last year, I mean, what is it, 9 or 10 games were one score games, whatever it was. So the margins are very small. There's a lot of great players. There's a lot of great coaches in this league. So, you know, we're just trying to put ourselves in a position where we have an opportunity to compete. And in the end, it's going to come down to how well we execute on Sundays. So, and ultimately, it's going to come down to the work and the effort that we put in. So, again, it's kind of where we are. So take some questions, Sarge. We'll start with you, and then we'll kind of go from there.
Just wanted to ask you, how do you feel about the things that you all have done in offseason? I know you said it's, you know, you have to wait to play the games, you have to wait to training camp or whatever. But, I mean, from the outside looking in, it's almost like you're winning even before the draft with the additions of the free agents that you have.
Yeah, just say generally speaking, our philosophy, even going back to last year, is just try to put together, you know, a good team, try to put ourselves into a position where we feel we can be competitive. And I say by the same token, when you go into the draft as best you can, you want to put the team in a position where if you had to go out there and play a game today, like we'd be able to put a team on a field. So, and we feel as we sit here today, if we had to go out there and play a game, we'd be able to put a team out there, not necessarily have to rely on the draft to, let's say, add a player. Like, I think whoever we draft, I mean, hopefully they'll come in here and create a role and a niche for themselves. It's probably going to be hard to make this team or make a significant impact, and, I mean, hopefully that's a good thing. But by the same token, there's a lot of things that are going to happen between now and September. The overall composition of the team, who's available, injuries are a part of it. So that's all we can do is just focus on where we are right now. Hopefully we've added players that can help our team in some capacity, and then hopefully we continue to add to the team as we go here next week. Right now, like I said, we have 9 picks, call it 9 draft picks. I think right now we're at 73, 74 players, so there's another, call it 15 to 20 spots, give or take. So the big thing is just trying to add the right people with the right mindset, with the right mentality, that just want to come in and work hard and just kind of do their job. And again, try to create as competitive environment, as competitive a situation as possible, which D'Amico has talked about that. And I think philosophically, we believe in the same thing. So, I mean, everybody is going to have to earn whatever the role and opportunity is. But hopefully the players that we've brought in, we brought them here for a reason because we think they can help us. But by the same token, there's a lot of things that can change, a lot of things that can happen between now and, you know, the start of the season, whenever that is. So, but, you know, hopefully we're in a decent position, but we're certainly not guaranteed anything at this point.
That some of the chatter about the team that you've got to build is laughable and garbage. Why do you feel that the move that you made, the positive, you know, feedback that you guys have gotten, why do you feel like it's garbage and kind of laughable?
Yeah, I think anything that's said outside the building is just noise. So it doesn't really affect our focus, our preparation. So, like, we're just focused on our team. We're just focused on improvement, and we're focused on the work. So what people – it's kind of like the draft. Or, you know, we go through the weekend. You know, we're going to have on Monday, right, or Sunday afternoon draft grades, right? I mean, it's the most ridiculous concept that I've ever heard of. Like, the players haven't even been in the building yet, and we're making an assessment about their performance. It's the same thing in the off season. I mean, nothing is won in the off season. You know, it's all on paper. It's all chatter. Honestly, it's, you know, fun for you guys, I'm sure, to talk about. But our focus is in the building on the things that we can control, which is the work and just continual improvement. So that's not going to change regardless of who's here, regardless of what's said outside of the building. The focus is on the present. The focus is on right now. And we're just trying to do as good a job as we can on a day-to-day basis because it's about stacking days and weeks together, not about, you know, one move is going to make the difference between what happens between now and the start of the season. So we've never approached it that way. We've never looked at it. I'd say as long as D'Amico and I are in a position to run the football team, that's going to be our philosophy, and that's not going to change. So
Again, the players have to come in here and they have to work. So it starts with the players. It starts with their attitude. It starts with their performance. Because in the end, it's about how the players perform. And in the end, it comes down to how well you execute on Sunday. So we can talk about all we want about what's going on, what the expectation is. Quite frankly, it doesn't really matter. What matters is what goes on behind the scenes. And then we go out there and hopefully we can execute and put ourselves in a position each week to put a good product out there.
You're listening to Hardo Nick Caserio here on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610.
But in what ways do you feel like this free agency you all were able to kind of secure some of the bigger names that you all have had in the past?
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't really know what that means. I think, you know, when you put the team together, you look at the opportunities that are presented in front of you. You have X number of dollars that you have available to you, and it's all about resource allocation. So, I mean, what, Devin Singletary, was that not like a big enough name last year, I guess? So, again, we're looking for good football players with the right mindset that come in here, espouse our philosophy, and then ultimately have to go out there and perform and play football. So,
said that a lot of players at the Pro Bowl were like, hey, tell D'Amico, tell the Texans to come get us. To me, that indicates that a lot of people were interested. So I was just wondering if you saw a lot more interest from free agents, or in what ways did you see?
It's all about opportunity. Like, ultimately, players are going to look at the situation and say, where do I have the best opportunity to perform? What's the situation? And really, it starts with the people that are in that locker room down the hall, the players that are here, a lot of the returning players. And then, honestly, it starts with the head coach. So, I mean, arguably, look, I'm biased, but, like, he's one of the best coaches in the league. So I think players, people want to be around like-minded people with the right mindset that prioritize winning. And I think what we've tried to do is create an environment where people come here and be themselves. We're not trying to force feed anybody into being something who they're not. Come in here, just be yourself. Ultimately, the most important thing that the player has to do, and it's D'Amico's message to the team anytime we get together, we don't have a lot of rules, but ultimately protect the team is the most important thing. So protect the team. And then outside of that, I mean, there's some other things that factor into it. But, again, players are going to make a decision based on where they feel they have the best opportunity in front of them. So, I mean, it's a credit to the guys that are in that locker room. It's a credit to the guys that are in the bubble training. So part of our job, my job, is kind of be a steward and figure out where the opportunities lie and try to make the right decisions for the organization and get the right people. And finances are a part of it. Like, I'm not, you know, ignorant. Like, yeah, finances are certainly going to be a part of it. And, you know, those are the discussions that we have, you know, with the agents and the representatives. So just because a player is interested in us doesn't necessarily mean we're interested in that player. So does he have the right fit? Do we foresee a role for him? Does he fit the system? Again, like Will said, we're not for everybody. Everybody's not for us. And there's a number of different ways you can view that. It's schematically, it's certain players prioritize other things over others. So that's part of our job and responsibility. And as it pertains to specifically like the draft, like we have control over the people that we bring in the building. Free agency, to a certain extent, you have control, but you also don't have control because sometimes it's driven financially by the resources that you're willing to allocate. So hopefully we've identified the right people that can come in here and impact the program in a positive way. We'll get more information here as we go here during the spring and training camp. And I'm sure there's some players that are here right now. Like, they may or may not be here by the start of the season, and vice versa. There's probably players that aren't here right now that could end up here in November or in October for some reason, like Derek Barnett did, and a number of different players that came in at different points. So try to take it one day at a time. Try to look at the opportunities that are in front of us. Make good decisions. Make the right decisions for the organization. And then go from there.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What goes into a discussion with another team trading for a player like Stephon Diggs? How do you guys kind of arrive at that decision?
Yeah, Cody, I'd say I talked to a lot of different teams at different points of the year. So I think we're always open-minded and just trying to look at opportunities that may or may not exist. I would say that was something I don't think we were really anticipating. But, you know, I think I had some conversations at different points, and ultimately was able to come to fruition, and we felt that, you know, it made sense for us to pursue. So, I'd say we talked to a lot of teams about a lot of different things at different points. You know, hopefully, you know, Steph can come in here, and Steph's been a productive player, so hopefully he can come in and help our team in some capacity.
Why do you think that he is a good fit? You talk about noise outside. There is a label, or people say, oh, he's a diva. And the fact that we haven't heard from Stephon yet, is that a Stephon thing, or is that a football ops thing?
Yeah, number one, I don't even know what that definition means. So if someone can define that for me, again, like, we're not worried about, you know, again, we're worried about what a player does when he walks in our building. So we do our research. We talk to our players. We talk to other players all the time. We talk to our players, you know, as an example, like a lot of the guys are in the draft. And we talk to those players. Hey, what are your thoughts about so-and-so? What is your experience with him? So, and we do our research, and then ultimately D'Amico and I sit and talk, and if we feel comfortable with the decision, then we go ahead and make the decision. I think it's unfair to label anybody until they actually have an opportunity to walk in the building. Again, our environment's different than another environment, so we really don't know what's going on in 31 other buildings. We know what's going on in our building, so excited to have Steph here, and, you know, when he gets here, I mean, certainly he's, you know, he'll be available, you know, maybe ample time for you all to visit with him. So, I mean, again, there's not too many people that have been available. You know, we just started the offseason program. So, like, we're not, you know, sign a free agent, you know, bring a jersey up here and, like, do a big powwow. Like, that's not how we operate. Like, we don't believe in that. So that's just us philosophically. So other teams choose to do it differently. So we try to do what we think is right, and we're pretty consistent on that. I know Will and CJ were available the other day, so there'll be other players that are available at different points during the spring. So excited to have Steph here, and hopefully he can add to our team.
When I got hesitant to make moves when you feel the deal is right, what's your philosophy on that thinking, moving up or down to get maybe a position you're looking at, a type of player that you want to?
More draft-wise or just generally? Yeah, I think we've always been kind of open-minded, be willing to be flexible and adaptable. And movement is contingent, really. It's really player-driven, so it's supply and demand. What are the resources available? If you bypass a player at a certain level, what's the opportunity you can get an equivalent player at a later point? Do you have to maybe move in order to secure the services of that player, and at what cost? So there's cost-benefit analysis that goes on continually. I think the one thing that we try to do, and, you know, hopefully it's a good enough job in some respects, but it's just be open-minded, be flexible, and be willing to adjust and adapt to the circumstances. And a lot of that is based on your preparation and the information that you have. It's understanding the board top to bottom. It's knowing the players not only at the top, but at the bottom as well. You know, there are probably some players that we actually brought in for visits that we wouldn't draft, but that doesn't mean that we wouldn't be interested in them, right? So we're just trying to gather as much information along the way as possible, and then just try. The draft ends up being really about positioning and just where do you think you have to move. You're not necessarily making it based on what other teams are doing, but, and again, you might not be looking at the same players as other teams are looking at, but maybe there's a certain position. So, you know, there's a little bit of strategy, maybe some positioning involved. So I think just flexible, adaptable, open-minded. I mean, that's kind of been our thought process and our mindset since we've been here, and, you know, we'll probably continue that moving forward.
Nick, from a football standpoint with Stephon, what do you feel like you guys get in him just in terms of versatility, all the things he can do? And many years ago, you were thrown to him at that Maryland Pro Day.
You weren't there for that, were you?
I was. I watched you. I thought you threw well.
It's funny. It's funny you bring that up. No, I was there for that workout. Actually had an opportunity to meet with him after the workout as well as part of our process. So, I mean, I would say, like, that information, honestly, is probably more relevant than, you know, what an information might be kind of floated around outside the building. But as it pertains to him, I mean, look, he's an experienced player. He's been productive. He's instinctive. He has good hands. So, you know, our system is maybe a little bit different than the system that he was in Buffalo, but he was as productive as any, you know, player in the league. So there might be some things that we're doing maybe that are similar to maybe what he was doing in Minnesota. But, you know, good football player. We think he can help us, which is why he's here.
That the draft can be a crapshoot. So when you draft C.J. Stroud, obviously you have high hopes for him, but you don't know until he plays. You've also said that you look at roster building somewhere in like 2-year windows. So how did his play and knowing that you found a quarterback impact maybe the moves that you did this offseason and your plans moving forward?
Yeah, there's a lot there. Look, the draft, it's not an exact science. So I think when you add a player to your team, you add the player because you think at some point he's going to be able to impact you in a positive way. Sometimes that's the way it goes for a myriad of reasons. Sometimes it doesn't work itself out. But I would say we're not making decisions based off of one individual's performance. We're making decisions based off of what we feel is in the best interest of the organization. And I think I know there's been some discussion about that comment about, you know, window and some of the other things. I think really the right way to look at it is kind of resource allocation just from a financial standpoint. So I'd say from a salary cap standpoint, you kind of have X number of dollars that you're going to use maybe in 1 year. Whatever you don't use that year, you're going to roll into the next year, right? And then once we get to 25, then we'll look at 26. So it's just about distribution of resources, but ultimately you're not making decisions based on one individual thing. There's a lot of different ways to put the team together. So we just have to put the team together, you know, in a way that we feel makes the most sense for us. So I think what you're looking for with younger players is improvement from 1 year to the next. So I think that's the biggest challenge for younger players, especially players, you know, in their first year going in their second year. You know, it's about improvement and can you make some adjustments relative to your performance last year? So, I mean, what happened last year is great, but quite frankly, it doesn't have any bearing on what goes on this year. You're only going to be judged on how well you perform this year. So, again, the team building process, it's probably, you know, one of the most enjoyable aspects of my job because it's never one size fits all. So you sort of have to be open-minded and kind of bob and weave a little bit and willing to make decisions in real time and also be willing to kind of make adjustments in real time as well. So it goes back to preparation. It goes back to information. It goes back to understanding players. It goes back to understanding the league as best you can and just trying to figure out kind of how it's all going to fit together.
In your perspective, how does the draft staff work with the coach and the assistants and the position coaches?
Yeah, great question. It's very collaborative. We have a lot of discussions. So from call it August to December, there's no heavy lifting for the coaches. Obviously, you have things that are more important. So kind of set the table, and then when you kind of transition into the off season, really post All-Star game and combine is really the first opportunity where coaches really have an opportunity to dive in. So you try to give them a starting point. You try not to give them everybody. So we've kind of pared it down, and we've kind of put the players in a position from a grade standpoint where we think they're going to fall. It doesn't mean that that's final. It just means based on the information that we have, here's kind of how we see the player and project the player. So our coaches all receive kind of a list of players for them to evaluate, both on the film and if they have an opportunity to visit with them at the combine in the informal interview process. And then they're a part of, the coordinators were a part of the formal interview process at the combine. So then we can come back from the combine and they go through their evaluation. And then once they kind of get through their evaluations, we meet as a staff, coaching staff, kind of scouting staff to get their feedback and input about how they see the player. Does that match up with maybe what we see in a scouting side? Is there a gap? If there is a gap, okay, maybe we go back and do a little bit deeper dive and figure out like where that discrepancy lies. And then, again, we're not trying to get to a point where we just agree on everything, but we're trying to get to a point where we see players similarly. We envision the role similarly. We're never going to force a player on a coach because it's unfair to really anybody involved. So we're not going to make decisions in a vacuum. We're going to take all the information in. We're going to aggregate as much information as possible. And ultimately, D'Amico and I will sit down and go through it and then figure out like what decision makes the most sense. So maybe it's, okay, if we have a group of four players, we're comfortable with one of the four players. okay, so then ultimately we're going to have to make a decision there. But there's a lot of dialogue and a lot of discussion back and forth. It's ongoing. We've actually had a couple follow-up meetings once we kind of got through the first wave. Hey, take a look at this group, six or eight players. Hey, can you do an informal Zoom call with them? We're trying to get more information. Then we'll come back. Hey, how'd it go? Well, we had a question about this. What did you think? So we're aggregating a lot of information, and there's a lot of dialogue. I mean, D'Amico's probably sick of me walking in his office every day, but literally we talk about players. We talk about the team on a day-to-day basis. So it's all about communication. So you can't over-communicate in situations like this. You're making big decisions on behalf of the organization. So I guess I'm just trying to kind of steer it in the right direction and be a steward and, you know, be supportive of everybody and be receptive to, you know, everybody's opinion. At some point, we got to draw the line somewhere. But hopefully we're identifying the right people for the organization. We see the vision. We see the role. But their information and input is certainly valued without question.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to Hardo, Nick Caserio here on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610.
You guys like voided the last 2-3 years of this contract. I was just wondering, what went into that decision? Is there like any type of concern knowing that this could be a 1-year rental?
Yeah, every situation is different. I think we evaluate it case by case. You have discussions with the representation and the player, and ultimately you make a decision that you feel was in the best interest of the team and the organization and everybody involved, and that's why we ended up where we are.
Two-part question here. You traded for Joe Mixon as well this offseason. What went into the decision to give up that round pick? And then also, why was it important to extend him as soon as he touched down going to a final year of his contract?
Yeah, the Joe situation is kind of interesting. I think I mentioned this when I was on, with Sean and Seth, a month or so back. So anytime a player, gets released, he's available. So say this situation was similar to kind of what we went through with Jason McCourty, however many years back, when I was in New England. Jason was released. He was going to be on the waiver wire. We kind of intercepted that release. Bill and I talked about this situation. Hey, this is a player we're interested in. All right, if we're willing to give up the compensation that was associated with it, then we were able to, gain Jason's services, and Jason ended up being a huge contributor on a Super Bowl winning team. So different but similar in some respects with Joe. Joe was set to be released. It was a player that, we evaluated and we thought could help our team in some capacity. So, to the earlier question, get on a phone, talk to the team. Hey, we'd be interested. Would you guys be willing, to give up a pick? Or if we gave up a pick, would you be interested? And that's kind of how the trade was consummated. So just relative to the commitment that we made to Joe, Joe's been a productive player. He's been a pretty consistent player. We think we can help our team. And, we're glad he's here, hopefully, for a few more years. So, I'd say how that all kind of sort of came together.
When I got to talk with Hannah and Cal McNair, they kind of admitted that when you first got here, there was a lot of work to do, I'll paraphrase it, a lot more to bite off than you maybe kind of knew from the outside. Just wondering how your role or mission statement has changed over the years from when you first stepped in this building to like this year's team.
I really thought about that. I think anytime you kind of take on a new job or challenge, it's going to be difficult. Nothing's ever easy. So I think you're just trying to be opportunistic and try to take advantage of the situation and really just keep the focus short term and kind of take it one day at a time. I think philosophically, I've always believed in just trying to make good, sound decisions on behalf of the organization. Our job is to put the organization in the best position as possible, try to put together as good a team as possible. I'd say you're relying on a lot of people around you. Running a football team is it's a team endeavor. It's not about one person. I've always kind of viewed my job as kind of a steward and just a supportive role and just try to navigate through the waters, however choppy they are. So the league is hard. You have to embrace that, but that's also one of the enjoyable aspects of the job. Nothing's easy. Nothing that you earn in life is ever easy. So, you know, I think you have to be willing to embrace challenges and kind of see the silver lining and not worry about the things that you can't control or out of your control, but try to take as positive approach as possible, be pragmatic, be realistic about the opportunity and the situation, and then just try to make good decisions. And if you're doing it with the right people, and really what you're, and I've said this from the beginning, you're just trying to put the a team and organization in a position where you have some degree of consistency and stability, and you have a chance on a year-to-year basis to do something, you know, pretty cool. Doesn't necessarily mean it's automatically going to translate to X number of wins and losses. I mean, the best teams are going to lose 5 or 6 games. So you're going to face challenges every year. So the challenges this year may be a little bit different than challenges when we first took over. But that's okay. That's a fun part of the job. So, you know, I would just say I'm just grateful and thankful for the opportunity that I've been provided here over the last, you know, 3 years going into year 4. You know, I'm going to try to do the best job I can for the organization and try to help the organization as much as possible, as long as they'll have me, and just try to make as positive an impact on the organization and the team and the community as much as possible. So understanding that we're relying on a lot of people around us. I'm relying on a lot of people around me. You have a lot of trust. This business is about relationships. It's about people. So if we do it with the right people, with the right mindset, then hopefully we put our team in a position where we can be competitive on a year-to-year basis, and ultimately that's the goal.
Together.
Yeah, somebody that maybe had an answer, had an opportunity to ask a question, and then, you know, we can always go back to somebody else.
We'll close with Cody, Jonathan,
DJ. When you put together a draft evaluation of a prospect, how much goes into how can the guy help day one versus how can the guy help maybe in November, December versus how can he help in the years to come with that player?
It's a good question. It's kind of a moving target. Sometimes it's circumstantial, sometimes it's contingent upon maybe some other players that are in the building already. But everybody kind of gets the same opportunity, and you don't want to pigeonhole a player and say, well, he's not going to be ready until November. Maybe he expedites that because his performance, and he shows the confidence, and he gets the confidence and faith of his teammates and the coaches around him. So when people walk in the building, everybody kind of has the same opportunity. I would say, just generally speaking, Cody, a lot of these players are behind just relative to their development, where they are physically. I would say for whatever reason this year, it seems like more players are further behind. And again, some of them have been advised to basically after the combine or their workouts, basically don't do anything physically in lieu of they don't want them to get hurt or anything like that. Well, okay, you lose, call it 4 to 6 months of training, which means when you come in a building in May, you're behind physically. So maybe we think the player is going to be ready physically, but part of our assessment is to see where they are physically, do some testing, get some baseline testing. And we're not going to put the player in a position and kind of force feed it. The player's ready when he's ready. I would say just going back to last year's group, I mean, other than, I'd say a player like Brandon Hill might be in a situation like you kind of alluded to where, other than Brandon, everybody else made a contribution to the team last year. Brandon really didn't because he kind of got off to a slow start, was injured in rookie camp and in OTAs, and he really didn't have a training camp. But I'd say the work that Brandon has put into this point, he's put himself in a position where he's going to have an opportunity. So excited about, you know, his chances and what he can provide. So it's case by case. And again, it's all about how do they perform, how much progress do they make, and how much information can they absorb in a short period of time. And we're not going to, again, put a timetable on anything, kind of pigeonhole anybody. When they're ready, they're ready. Sometimes it takes a year. Sometimes it takes 2 years. But after kind of that first iteration, draft, off-season program, training camp, in-season, off-season, you should have a decent idea of the player's ability and opportunity in front of them, understanding there could be some things that derail that. So you're kind of weighing everything. There are actually probably some players in this year's draft who physically might not be ready to contribute maybe early on in the season. So maybe you're drafting them for next year. Okay, then that's a decision you have to make and say, are we comfortable with that? Do we want to try to gain the player's services? Understanding maybe he's not ready. So there's, I mean, those are all the discussions that we're going to have. I think it's a pretty astute observation. But again, every case is going to be different, and you kind of have to treat each individual player kind of differently and not really force feed anything. Hopefully that answers the question.
Jonathan, DJ Cole.
Yeah, when you have your top 30 visits, what are some things that you have prospects do? What are some things you're looking for during that process? And how oftentimes how crucial is that to whether maybe you select a player?
No, it's interesting. I think like the top 30 notion is kind of a little bit of a misnomer. So it's really not the top 30 players. It's really 30 players that you have an opportunity to bring in your building to gain more information on. So we have various checkpoints on players. So the visit may be another checkpoint. Maybe we're trying to find out something specifically. So again, we probably run the gamut of players, where they potentially could get drafted, what their role is. Maybe we're just trying to verify a separate piece of information. And then maybe when they walk out of the building, we say, okay, well, you know, case closed. Like, honestly, we're moving on from the player. That's okay, too. So it's just whatever we need to do to get to a point where our questions are answered, we can make the right decision, we have the right information. But I think that whole top 30 notion kind of gets used loosely. We don't view it as top 30. We just view it as 30 opportunities. It's actually more than 30 because there's some players that kind of qualify as kind of local visits who play in the 90-minute radius in certain colleges. So we probably get more than 30. We're not breaking any rules, so the NFL is not going to come after us. But so you're just trying to gain as much information as you can so you can make a good decision. And if there's a loophole that you need to close, this provides you an opportunity to do so.
You mentioned earlier about protecting the team. D'Amico also mentioned about protecting the team last year in the draft. You guys did a really good job of keeping all the information tight and in-house in terms of wanting to get CJ to train them well.
Is there another way that we're supposed to do it?
No, I'm asking how much do you think that helped and how are you guys able to keep everything in-house? Well, those were two really big moves.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, communication. And you know, people understanding that the most important thing is to protect the organization and the team. You know, our job isn't to, despite what everybody thinks, our job is to really publicize what we're doing. You know, we just try to do what we think makes the most sense for our team. You know, not everybody has all the information. The people that need the information have the information, have it. And again, you know, we're trying to do what's in the best interest of the Houston Texans first and foremost and not really worry about, you know, what we're doing and how that affects other teams. So honestly, there's probably some other teams that, you know, do a better job than we do, and we can certainly do, you know, a better job on our end, and we'll hopefully just continue to look for ways to improve some of our processes, some of the things that are doing. So, again, we're not trying to be difficult. I know that's what everybody thinks, but, you know, we're just trying to do what we think makes the most sense for the organization and kind of protect the organization and the team, because ultimately that's what our responsibility is.
Nick, when you look back, you've seen some players come into the building. Kenyon Green's back. How do you feel about him through his rehab process? What were conversations like, and what do you expect from him going into year three?
Yeah, working hard, made progress. You know, he has an opportunity in front of him, so ultimately it's going to come down to the player and how well they perform. But, you know, KG's a good kid, so, I mean, he'll have a full off season, which he hasn't had, so, you know, we'll see how it goes here. Certainly has an opportunity in front of him, but nobody's guaranteed anything. So, I mean, ultimately it's going to come down to how you perform. You know, when you're on the field.
Sarge, next week, of course, you're going into the draft, but you also have another big event coming up for the organization. You got a chance to see the uniforms. What do you think about
them? Have I seen the uniforms yet? I don't think I've sort of seen them. So I would say I'm probably not the person to talk about relative to fashion. You guys have seen how I dress. No, I think it's, you know, it's great for the fans. So, I mean, again, there's a lot of other people that have talked about the uniforms. I'll let them kind of handle it. So, I mean, I'm more worried about how well they play than how well they look on the field. So, but I'm sure you guys can have some fun with that next week. So, all right,
thanks.
All right, there you go. That's Hardo Nick Caserio here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Let's get into that. Let's talk about some other stuff going on around town. Plus, the big puppet. He's here. Hits are lit next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. You're listening to In the Loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Casario smells blood. He's a hardo. We've come a long way. Not too long ago, about a year ago, remember neutered Nick before the D'Amico search? Neutered Nick?
Homeboy ain't neutered no more.
Nah, he ain't neutered.
He talking with his chest.
Nah, he's having to lift his legs high to avoid those nuts.
Big Nick energy.
Yeah. Here was Nick at the podium. Apparently, he ain't a fan of draft grades. Here's Hardo Casario here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, I think anything that's said outside the building is just noise. So it doesn't really affect our focus, our preparation. So, like, we're just focused on our team. We're just focused on improvement, and we're focused on the work. So, you know, we're going to have on Monday, right, or Sunday afternoon, draft grades, right? I mean, it's the most ridiculous concept that I've ever heard of. Like, the players haven't even been in the building yet, and we're making an assessment about their performance. Nothing is won in the off season. You know, it's all on paper. It's all chatter. Honestly, it's, you know, fun for you guys, I'm sure, to talk about. But our focus is in the building on the things that we can control, which is the work and just continual improvement.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I hope he stays.
I feel attacked, man.
I hope he stays on that side of the business.
I feel attacked, brother.
He better stay on that side of the business, man. I'm guessing we won't see Nick Casario working for media companies, because that's going to be the first thing they ask him to do. Hey, man, we need your draft grades, Nick. What do you think?
Hey, I like this. I like this intensity. I think this is a good Casario. I think this is a comfortable Casario. I think this is a Nick Casario that smells blood. So shout out to Nick Casario. Cody Stutes was at the press conference. He asked him about Stephon Diggs as well as really chess and checkers draft. He's going to join us for the final couple of hours as we look ahead to the draft, et cetera. He's driving right now. No. I mean, he should get here by noon, but the way that he drives and all that, who knows? He may not have to.
He's
stop.
A slow driver.
He's just a little, you know.
Super careful.
I don't know if he's careful or not.
He might be taking time pouring over that long, very enthusiastic answer that he got from Nick. I mean, that's probably the longest answer that he got.
Might have to ride Houston football. Who knows? Astros get swept for the third time of the season. So we're 20 games through this mofo. They've been swept three times. You know how many times the Astros were swept all last year?
Probably three.
Four.
Yeah. So
four times they were swept last year. They've been swept three times through 20 games.
It's early, man.
It is early. No, it is early.
And they're getting their ass kicked early.
And they got a day off, which is much needed. And then they're going to Washington, manana. And they got some help on the way in the form of a Hall of Fame pitcher, Justin Verlander. He's going to make his season debut, manana. Cy Young Award winner 2 years ago. Jim Crane's golfing buddy. Now 41 years old. He is back in the big leagues to make room for Justin Verlander. They sent down who? Who'd they send down?
My name's Forrest. People call me Forrest.
Forrest Chump. Forrest Whitley has been sent down to the minor leagues. So 2/3 of an inning, not very impressive. Forrest Chump back in Shugtown.
He'll be back.
Back where?
Because you think if that's a chump, have you looked around? They ain't got a lot of champs, right? Like, they ain't got a whole lot of champs in that bullpen. So you better believe Forrest Whitley, he's just going to go down and get some more work in. But he'll be back. So put a pin in that. I just hate how we've transitioned, and I know it's still early, but I hate how we've already transitioned. I'll speak for myself.
You transitioning?
I've transitioned, all right? Okay. And I need to be transparent with the audience. Hey, audience, I'm transitioning.
Okay, congratulations.
From the point where I used to look at the Astros schedule and say, oh, yeah, they got to take care of business against the Kansas City Royals, against the Washington Nationals. Oh, yeah. And now I'm wondering if the folks in Kansas City and Washington, D.C.
Nah,
look at the Astros on the schedule
it ain't like
and think
that.
What I used to think nah, about
brother,
them.
Don't. It ain't that
That's
bad.
That's easy money right there.
No.
Oh, Astros in town? Easy money.
No.
You must be his early guy.
They could play bad for the next 8 years, and beating the Astros is put on a pedestal. It's like the Yankees, like when the Yankees had down years.
I get that.
Or is it like the Patriots?
They ain't sitting there saying, we got to take care. Patriots seems like it's already dead, doesn't it? Like beating the Patriots even hit anymore?
I don't think it do.
But beating the Cowboys does. Like beating the Cowboys is stuck. Yeah. Right? Beating the Patriots but went
even
away
when
in
they,
2 years.
But even but when they weren't good, though. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not that beating them doesn't still hit. It's just that, like, I'm sure beating the Warriors still hits. But ain't nobody confusing them as being good when they do it. They're just like, oh, yeah, we beat them has-beens. Worried about that, man. I don't like that feeling. And if you look right now, sorry to let you know, the Royals are objectively better than you right now.
They've swept you the last two, too.
And the Nationals might have a better future. We'll in front see. Of them
let's,
right
let's
now.
Let's get Verlander and Fromberg back. I'm not saying it's early. I'm just saying let's see how they look.
Let's pump the brakes first.
Nah, we don't got to pump brakes. We can still
let's
keep
pump
it
the brakes.
We're in a school zone.
Landry's transitioned into its early guy.
No. I've transitioned into.
We ain't got the starters back yet.
Let's see.
Wait till we get our starters back.
See what Verlander and Fromberg can do. That's it. That's where I'm at.
We got people on the IL. Let's wait till they come back.
On different sides of the ledger, these are some sad-ass transitions from both of us.
Espada fella, this new manager, he said this about Jose Abreu. He repeated what Jeff Bagwell said.
History, you know, the back of his baseball card. You know,
oh,
he can
do
it.
Oh, my gosh. That's a rough look for him. The funniest thing to me is I've never been an Espada guy. I've never liked Espada. This is not a flip-flop. I thought it was a lazy hire. I thought it was a convenient hire. When I hear that, I feel like he's just kind of a puppet. And my only beef with Dusty last year was Maldonado, but I never really liked this Espada thing. I don't think it's all his fault, but I'm not a fan. Had someone on the text line say, well, he doesn't field, catch, and pitch. Based on that, you'd never criticize a manager. Like, ever, if that were the case. I'm just not a fan. And when I hear him repeat Jeff Bagwell, yeah. Come on.
And reasonably, you can not be a fan of any of it. The ones who pitch, catch, hit, throw, and manage, none of them look good right now.
Coming up next, Nick Caserio. He spoke. Nick Caserio. He went hardo. What are the biggest needs, and what does disappointment even look like around here? Can we even imagine it when it comes to what's going to happen a week from now? Let's discuss next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.